Chris Marcus here with you for Arcata Economics on, I don't know, do one day do we refer back to this as Silver Monday, as we're on Monday, October 13th, 1:33 p.m. Eastern Time. I am here with my dear friend Brian Kuzmar, Commercial Rare Coins, who in addition to having a sweet fish tank behind him, is a local coin dealer not too far away in Lauderdale by the Sea. And Brian is going to give us an update on, I guess you could say, how the I believe Tyler Wall described the conditions in the retail market as a catastrophe or a mess. And that is happening in particular because the reason this is such a historic day, not Brian, how often do we have a day where gold is up 130 bucks, yet in the precious metals world, that is almost second stage? Because really, the stunning news is that the silver squeeze continues. Futures or the spot price still highly inverted, got over 52 bucks at 52.11, the high right now, 51.88. Futures crossed $50 about an hour or two ago. Up $3.15 on the day, which is pretty stunning. It's not happened often. Brian, I think I've tracked down once that's happened since 1980. Might have happened a bit more in 1980, but incredible things happening. This is, I hope people are recognizing this is a historic day that many people have waited 14 or you could say 45 years for. So with all that said, Brian Kuzmar of Commercial Rare Coins, pleasure to have you in here today, and welcome on back. How are you?
Thank you, Chris. I really appreciate it. It is indeed historic times for silver stackers and people that have bought gold and silver for years and years. I'm still stunned by it all, but not surprised. I felt that these markets would go quite a bit. Pardon about that. A little loud here for me. Quite a bit higher sooner, but here we are right now. So, anyways, go. I'm sorry, Chris, go ahead.
Well, let's take a look here. Here is the futures. Man, $3.12. It's just stunning to see. Also, fun is if you take a look at some of these long-term charts and you see what that last leg of the move here has looked like. And Brian, perhaps we can get right into it because you and I talked earlier today about how it's not just that. I mean, people have been hearing about how the London spot price has surged over the futures price, which is, again, well, not only is this not normal, but the degree to which it's happened is fire alarms going off, canaries dropping dead in the coal mine. And as we're recording here, I just got a message that A-Mark's trading desk is down, Brian. So perhaps you could catch people up to speed. What is happening on the wholesale and retail level where it sounds
Sure.
like things are getting kind of chaotic?
It's well, for the last couple years, silver hasn't, we haven't sold a lot of gold and silver product to the average Joe out there. Physical retail bars and coins sales have kind of not been that great. So as you've talked about, and I've talked about, a lot of people have talked about for some time, is the it's most of it's been melted for quite some time. For the last couple years, especially in the last 6 months, like gold coins and silver bars have been trading way under melt. There's been very little buyers and retail interest. And what you said earlier about the way this market is so much different than 1980 and so much different than 2012. And the reason is, I mean, take a look. You don't hear about gold making all-time highs almost on a daily or a weekly basis. You don't really see much of it on the news or the mainstream, corporate media. And you also don't see it with silver, and if you notice, you don't see a lot of cash for gold shops anywhere. They're not popping up everywhere. It kind of tells me that the American public hasn't or vast majority of the American public doesn't own gold and silver. They own their money is in their homes, their equities, their passive investments in their 401k and all that stuff. You know, okay, stackers. Brian, yes, sir.
May I just add something to that real quick? I did talk to my brother yesterday, and he lives in Baltimore. He's heard me talk about gold and silver more than once in the past 15 years, and I was wondering if, you know, anyone around him talking about gold and silver. He said, no, not really. I asked him if he was aware that silver had just broken $50, and even, you know, again, he's not sitting there watching this show every week, but just to the degree that there's still, like, yes, there's a lot of mainstream money coming in, yet we're still not where, like, everyone knew when Bitcoin was surging. So continue.
Yeah, and any other investment in the world that was performing like gold and silver, any investment would be on the nightly news, you know. And I'm just not seeing it. Is it purposeful? I don't know. It's strange. I woke up this morning. I think this is something we're going to talk about. For the first time I've encountered since I've been doing this, is, you know, I started in the 1980s working for my father. I went through the 2012 market. And for the first time, I called up one of my major wholesale suppliers to be told we suspended all sales. I was shocked, you know. And that's kind of what prompted me this morning to kind of reach out to a bunch of people and say, hey, listen, you know, sales have been suspended by at least one major reseller. And why is that? Because honestly, retail sales of gold and silver, grands, bars, haven't been off the hook since, you know, I remember we were way busier 2019 to 2022. We were selling, you know, during the silver squeeze and a little prior to that, we were selling tons of bullion. But we have yet to even get close to that type of sales volume, even with gold and silver making record highs. And I can only come to the conclusion is that The 1% of people that really buy gold and silver, stackers, and we're a rare community, are bought in. And the new buyers just haven't showed up in force yet. Yet, you know, the price of gold and silver are going up way high. And I'm talking about silver. Gold has got something to do with central banks and all that stuff. But the price of silver has just shot up dramatically without having the same dramatic effect in retail sales. So silver's doubled, but retail sales haven't doubled since then. And in fact, dealers for the last 6 months, 7 months and longer have been melting their excess inventories. So all that excess 90%, 100-ounce bars, product that, and including gold products that weren't selling retail to stackers in coin stores or bullion sites was being melted. And when I called this morning, my first thing was, well, everything's sold off the shelf. We've melted all their, you know, secondary market stuff, so there's not much to be had out there. And that was my belief, possibly why the resellers are stopped. But it's much more complicated and deeper than that, and deeper than a lot of stackers understand, including myself. I don't know the details of what you and Vince and Eric and these other guys have been talking about with the shortages in London, but apparently the cutoff today, the short temporary suspension of sales today, was based on what I was told in a brief conversation was backwardization and the spreads, which I would imagine meant the bid and the ask price, were so wide that these guys were trying to figure out how to buy product, you know, with $2 spreads on silver. A lot of things I've never seen in my lifetime and doing this for years, because most time in the past, 19 or 2012, for example, you know, even when silver had just skyrocketed and there was no product, you called the wholesaler and it didn't say we've suspended sales. What they said is, hey, we've got delayed delivery. You know, we'll deliver 2 weeks out, month out, but we'll still lock you in at today's prices. What bothered me a little bit is when I had called this one particular wholesaler who was a major player, they suspended sales, and I'm thinking, well, they're not even willing to say, hey, I'll lock you in, and then, you know, so it's a big disruption in our little tiny retail stacking wholesale it was bullion world, you know. So
yeah, I know what you mean. And actually, I got Tyler Wall of SD Bullion's words wrong. He said wholesale overall is not a total catastrophe. It's a total calamity. And he touches on many of the things that you mentioned here. Although,
I can see that. Doesn't really have a clue how to quote a spot price. That seemed to be, but disarray and chaos is kind of what we saw for a temporary time this morning. I think it might be temporarily solved, but you know, what happens if the general public really does start coming in and to buy silver and gold en masse? This really made me think that we're not ready to handle it. We're not ready to make the sales. And you know, in my business, how do you make money if you don't have a product you can sell, you know, or that you can confirm at a price? Because I'm not going to lock in with a customer unsure what the future will be. And but yeah, very uncertain times for me, you know, but I'm covered well, I'm stacked well. So
yeah, well, two questions there. The first one you touched on a bit, where, you know, again, we've heard about a lot of the metal being sold back. So I was wondering, you know, wouldn't some of that be available then to fill some of the demand that's coming in now? It sounds like you're saying pretty much anything that came back was getting melted pretty quickly. So any of the products that were sold back are no longer in the form. So that's not there. And then part two of that would be, I'm hearing there has been a surge, maybe not to what we could conceivably see, but there has been a surge in buying in the past week or so. So perhaps you could touch on those two.
Yeah, we have seen a little surge in the buying. And what we have seen lately, and I really over the last several months, is larger buyers stepping in, more wealthier people stepping in and buying. You know, the middle class, the working folks, the blue collar guys out there that understand gold and silver, they're stacked in. And when I've heard about capitulation amongst these stackers, it's often misconstrued that they're capitulating because they think the prices are topped out at 35, 40, 50. But most all of them are selling because they have to pay bills. It's weak hands. However, the wealthy stackers who we've sold to through 2016 through, you know, even up to recently, they've always been there, but they're picking up a little bit more right now. We're seeing customers that are spending six figures come in more frequently now than they have been. And I think a lot of it is just, you know, fear and understanding the role that gold has to play in security. You know, they're not going to wake up one morning and hear that gold or silver went bankrupted or confiscated or taxed heavily. So we are seeing more bigger customers come in. However, I haven't seen that FOMO crowd that we saw in 1980, which is a totally different market. I haven't seen the FOMO crowd that we had in 2012. I just haven't seen it. And I'm thinking, based even on the small amount of sales that wholesale and retail gold and silver sellers are having, if we do get a FOMO, a moment with the public buying physical metals as opposed to an ETFs and stuff like that, I don't think we're going to be able to service them in any way, shape, or form. And what I saw as a temporary stop closure could very well be something that gets extended. It really has a lot to do with what I call the a choke point in silver. And I many times said that you can have all the silver in the world, but and just like oil, you can have all the crude oil in the world, but if you can't refine it into the products that you need, that's where the bottleneck is. And we have a major issue in the United States with bottlenecks with good LBMA or certifiable 1,000-ounce bars. There's only a handful of people that make them in the United States. So I kind of think that we're seeing the results of that choke point. Industry is still using the same amount of silver they always did, incrementally more every year. And investment is probably about the same. So I'm always wondering, where are these 1,000-ounce bars that these big four or six refiners in the United States, where are they going besides industry? And they're not going being sold, resold to stackers. So I'm in the honest belief that they're being used for the last couple of years to cover all these paper assets, which I think are really naked short positions, and that they've seen the writing on the wall years ago. And that's why the refiner's been backed up for months and months, not because of industry, not because of stackers, because somebody wants these 1,000-ounce bars desperately. And who else besides stackers? And we don't represent 1%. I mean, hardly anything. We're peons when it comes to consumption of silver. The industry hasn't picked up dramatically more. So who is buying these 1,000-ounce bars and causing these prices to go up like they are? I can only think that over the last couple of years, it has been. It's nothing to do with London so much. London is just a symptom of that problem. You know what I mean? And you know, I think that all that silver that's being produced in these big bars, besides what normally goes in industry, is being desperately pushed into to cover COMEX contracts, LBMA contracts, contracts that really had no real silver backing. I'm gonna leave it there because you know I can just keep going. So.
Yeah, well, I certainly understand what you mean. And in just a moment, well, I do have some insight on where something you just touched on, but I want to make sure to recap this just so people are clear on what is going on. Because again, when we talked earlier this morning, you said that at that time you were being told that you literally could not order product, you could not replenish your stock. And then it seems like things changed. And then again, I'll pull up one more time. Here's James Anderson sharing that biggest bullion market making desk in North America, which is A-Mark, currently unavailable. So it's kind of mixed right now, where I guess you could say there's warning bells going off, but there is still stuff out there now. But you're thinking that based on what you're seeing, that could change tomorrow or later tonight or
Oh, it
next.
could. It could. There's no way that the wholesale and retail coin and bar market could satisfy a FOMO moment where a large amount of Americans start coming in buying coins and bars, you know, other than the standard 1% or less of us that exist out there. So I believe that if there is a FOMO moment, and the question that we have to ask ourselves, why hasn't there been, with gold and silver making double ups, potential triple ups, why hasn't there been a FOMO in America? You see it in Australia, I think. Maybe we saw that line. I don't know if that was a real picture that was posted the other day where they showed a line of people out, one of the Australian sellers. Chinese and Vietnamese marketplaces literally seem to be, the public seems to be buying the hell out of gold and silver, but they're not doing it here, Chris. Again, my belief is that most Americans are broke for anything other than their home equity, their 401ks, their pensions, and you know, maybe they do know, maybe they just don't care and they're just letting someone else, you know. The only exposure those folks have to gold is probably what their broker tells them to buy. I don't know. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, like you said, here we can see this is Bullion by Post, UK's number one online bullion dealer. Well, not today. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to like be as much of a smart ass about that one as that out, although anyway, fortunately, plenty going on here. And first of all, when we look at the futures price here, up $3 today. And I was thinking, gee, like, have we had a $3 day before? I didn't remember one in 2011. And fortunately, a man of 1980 experience here live with me on the, and Brian, we'll get your thoughts on that in a moment. I did find, now, SD Bullion has a page where they show historical pricing. I think this might be spot. Although the only one I've been able to find so far is, it looks like from April 27th to April 28th. That was right before the price came back down, go from 45.30 to 48.70. So that would have been a $3.40 move. Now, I might add, as some segment of the audience is well aware, it went up 3.40 and then it came down 6 and changed. So hopefully we'll have a different outcome this time. And I think there's a lot of reason to believe we will, especially when you go back over to things like that roaring higher, that silver short squeeze rocking the London market. But Brian, it looks, according to this data, obviously there's futures, spot prices, many different ways to look at it. But do you remember any other $3 plus moves in silver?
No. I mean, on silver, that's a big day. I experienced it because I lived through it. However, I don't remember the specific days on $3 silvers. Now, I can tell you, I saw bigger moves down than $3 silver in 2012 and 1980. I think I saw one day a $5 down, but on the ups, that's pretty, no, not really. It's very unusual. And I can't say it's happened more than a couple times or hasn't, but something really, really explosive is going on in the silver market. There's no doubt about it. I think just trying to figure out exactly what's causing it, because again, silver price has been rising, you know, for a couple years now. And I think our silver and gold community and stackers tend to feel that we represent price structure, but we represent really very little. We don't have a large impact on price structure at all. So who does, you know, if it's not being caused, price of gold and silver is not being caused by, you know, investors, you know, per se, you know, people buying gold and silver bars, who's causing these 1,000 ounce bars to be in such big demand, and who's ordering them, you know? So anyways, I don't want to be a broken record on that.
Long time silver guru. I'm waving my arm in the back. Please call on me, call on me. I think, would you allow me to do some dot connecting on that one for you?
Yes, sir. Love to hear it. Yeah.
Because I think we do have some explanations. Because it's interesting, things that we have talked about on the show, you and I have talked about, although perhaps we will connect them all together. So everybody get your coffee and get set, because here we go. Obviously, to recap, the issue is that available free floating inventory in London has been getting low. London is where the spot market is. The average daily turnover, about 250 million ounces, which some would say is, you could think of it as the amount of silver required to underpin that. What does that mean to underpin that? Imagine if you're a blackjack dealer over a long enough sample, the number's in your favor. But if some guy bets really big and wins and you don't have the money to pay that out, you run into an issue. So similar to that, which is why, and again, Daniel Galli had been reporting, and high five to Daniel, who I've not met, although I'm going to the Silver Institute dinner next month, Brian. And I think he might be there, so it'll be great if get a chance to talk with him. He was writing a report saying we're months away from an issue in the silver free-floating inventory. Happened sooner than he had said, 4 to 7 months, and it was about a month later. And that's why you see here is this one, XAG USD, you can think of as a spot price. Normally, the futures trades over the spot price, but this is inverted. At $1.60 now, has been as high. I've seen it as high as $3. I mean, anywhere over 20 cents inverted is a lot. So when it got to $1.20 inverted last Thursday, that was stunning. And then when it was at $2.50 about an hour later, that was when it seemed to me, all right, something's broken here. Brian, I'm going to be a little bit of a tease. I did hear quite a fascinating rumor of something going on behind the scenes that not at liberty to share yet, but hit that subscribe button because as soon as I get clearance on that one, but certainly a lot happening behind the scenes. And what is what are the results of that? First of all, well, we can skip past this, but the real problem is that similar to back during the silver squeeze, when you had SLV allegedly add 100 million ounces in 3 days, despite what Bloomberg said on Friday about silver being shipped to the different vaults each day, I think you just had a tag that was moved to another pile because the 100 million ounces, people have done the math, it's like impossible to get that shuttled back in that short a period of time. So a lot of the time silver is leased. Oh, well, we're short, we're getting blown out, we can lease it from him. So do I think that the SLV vaults just have like a bunch of hacky sacks in them? No, I think the silver is there, but often when someone gets caught off sides, they'll lease it. And that's the problem, is that the lease rates have surged. Now the lease rates are up to over 30%. And if you're saying, okay, why did this all pop up so quickly now? Well, if you go back a couple of weeks, people remember hearing that Saudi Arabia had done a purchase of SLV. Actually, it was about 1 million shares out of 300 or 400 million, so not necessarily right. A huge amount, but maybe that factored in. But even more so, what we've been hearing about India, where those imports surged and basically doubled last month. And it seems like that's kind of tipping this thing over the edge. We just saw Indian silver ETFs halted. Now, to be clear, because you're going to see in several of these stories, they say a shortage. And to distinguish, do we have an overall shortage of silver yet? I would say no, to the degree that there is still silver in the COMEX. We're not at a point where there's not silver in the world.
Correct.
And what's available, at what price, we're finding out. Some silver did start leaving the COMEX and going back over to London as the price has been accelerated there. Interesting to think about if you try and arb that. What happens if you get halfway over and the market reverses? So that's...
Turn around the plane.
I would think there's some way to hedge that out, but... anyway, they're talking about the same factors here, but they also mentioned that basically, they were not able to, okay, Indian ETFs suspend new subscriptions. And they mentioned that because you can say there's a shortage of silver in India right now. Shortage has made it nearly impossible for manufacturers to produce silverware while coins and bars are trading at steep premiums. But here's the key point. It's somewhere up there, they mentioned that they're expecting in the next shipment for silver to come in. So I think it's, we don't know yet. Oh, and this part was interesting. The market has been further strained by a surge in silver shipments to the US after silver's inclusion as a critical mineral last September. So again, like the tariff status making everything more complex, yet bringing that all together, it seems like that surge in demand from India has really impacted and caused a squeeze on the London supply. You're seeing the lease rate spike. And when it comes to do we have a shortage, what will be interesting to see now is as about 8 million ounces in the last 3 days of last week, we didn't get today's numbers yet, have left the COMEX. Bloomberg said 15 to 30 million seem scheduled to go back to London. Does that metal go to London and then go into India to fill their demand? We're about to find out. That's what you would think, some form of that. But you see all these centering around the tightness in London and their free-floating supply. And anyway, thank you for letting me share that and any thoughts you
No,
have on
that's
that.
all interesting. I learn a lot from yourself. Again, remember my real expertise, and I'm outside my wheelhouse with ETFs, contracts, and the way the system really works. I learned a lot from you and other guys. Couple questions I wanted to ask real quick is, and let me first note ETFs. I was a big follower of Ted Butler for years. He kind of explained things to me that, like in a layman's term. So he always felt that SLV had the silver. But when you were talking about, yeah, they do have the silver, but they lease it out, that was something I wasn't aware of for a long time. And the people that are leasing the silver have to resupply it back to SLV, not a contract, not a promise, but they have to give back the silver. Now they're on the hook for trying to redeliver that silver. So Ted Butler was always not fond, but said that SLV provided an important role for silver. But the question I wanted to ask you is, I was always under the impression that, for example, COMEX, they can issue whatever amount of contracts they want, but they only kept a certain amount of silver on hand because they knew that they wouldn't make delivery based on data. And so didn't, in essence, COMEX for years run what you would say a naked contract, even though they said that, yeah, we can cover it. My understanding is that they never had these contracts fully covered with silver. They would only cover what they expected to deliver. Is there any truth to that, or are they required to cover every contract they issue with, silver, real silver that says, okay, that contract owns this?
Nah, not at all.
Okay.
It's kind of like in the, I forget, well, I'm not sure the latest policies in the stock market, but back in my option trading day, if you were going short something, you had to locate a borrow. I believe that's still the case. That's what we've been seeing with the SLV shares. The borrowing rate for that has gone up too, because there's essentially a shortage of shares available to borrow. And that's why you would see those numbers. I guess there's a couple ways to measure it. If you measure the amount of silver in the COMEX, some people look at it compared to the volume, which is is reasonable. Maybe more direct is when you look at the open interest relative to what's in registered, which is what's available for delivery. Now, obviously, we can see here registered, the darker green, eligible, which is in the warehouses, but not with a warrant attached. You can see they've surged, and actually, even in the past month or so, continuing to go higher. But
So, in
and actually,
essence, New York, every contract they issue, it is solidly backed by silver. And if that's the case with, and again,
no,
these are
it
questions,
is not
it
backed.
is not backed by
They are
silver.
not backed by silver. That's why you. People may have heard Jeff Christian often says this in some of his videos, where the reason he doesn't think there's an issue is because, 97% of the contracts just get rolled
Rolled
over,
over,
which
yeah.
is correct. Just I would point out that back in 1980, the one time when they didn't get rolled over, the whole thing started to melt down until they prevented people from buying.
Is that what's caught with London right now? Is they failed to anticipate deliveries on these naked contracts?
Well, they're not exactly. It's more just that the amount in their stockpile was getting lower, was getting lower. People were warning it was getting lower, and
But by definition,
the
New York and London did issue naked contracts because they knew a certain, like you were just saying about a certain amount of New York contracts, they only had to deliver this amount, they kept that amount on hand. So the rest of it's naked contracts, so to speak, for a layman like myself. And again, I would think if London had all their contracts covered with physical, they wouldn't be in this issue, would they?
Well, London is the physical. They're not
Right.
doing futures contracts there. That's
Oh, yeah,
just
I'm
in New
sorry. Yeah.
York. So what will be interesting now is to see how much silver goes back from New York to London. We've seen 8 million leave the COMEX. Bloomberg said they're getting numbers of 15 to 30 million. And I think some will go back, but there are also many people who believe, and I think there's a chance this is accurate, that did that silver and gold come over on behalf of the US government, especially on the silver side, because they knew it was a strategic metal and were going to name it as such months later? I don't know, but that's possible. So how much of it will go back? I don't know, maybe 50 million ounces will go back and that'll last for a while, but then we run another deficit. So
Yeah. So
we're
it's
consuming more than we have, especially like you pointed out, if you really get an uptick in investment demand.
forget about it from, being able to supply the actual bars. I'm sure the silver's out there, but it's going to take a while to gear up if FOMO kicks in retail sales, because the existing inventories of secondary product are going to sell out quick. And the smaller mints, the Scottsdales, and all those guys that create the 10-ounce bars, not the big 1,000-ounce ones that go to industry and investment, those guys haven't been geared up for a while because their specialty is selling, again, the bars to the retail environment. So they're going to have to gear up and start pumping out more product as well.
Yeah. Well, Brian, one final question for you here before we wrap up today. And again, I
Yes, sir.
appreciate you making some time on what I would say, we had Silver Thursday. I wonder if at some point maybe this will be Silver Monday, some point in the future.
I
Although
think we're heading in for more shocking events than Silver Monday here. I think we're setting up for some really cool stuff, that's going to put a grin on your face and my face and all the stackers out there. One thing that we're reminded of is we still haven't hit CPI adjusted highs for silver in 2012, which when I looked it up, the official CPI rate said silver to match 2012 inflation adjusted should be $72 thereabouts. 1980 is closer to 200 if you trust the again CPI adjusted numbers. So we still haven't hit our all-time highs yet, if you think about it. But I think once we start to do that, I'm curious to see what happens with the retail public coming in, and I'll be the first to let you guys know.
yeah, and Brian, the last question I had there is just again, in terms of premiums, it sounds like they've started to rise. Obviously, if we should have more extended product shortages, they could rise more. But what could you say about the premium levels today?
I've said it many times. The canary in the gold mine or the silver mine is gold and silver eagles. Silver eagles, even though it's not my, it is my favorite product, but it's the highest premium out of all the different products. But most popular in the United States. So when silver eagle prices, the bids and the ask start to increase, on gold and silver eagles, that's kind of the canary in the mine that says that there's demand picking up. That's where I look for because those are the two most popular products. And currently, oddly enough, There's delayed delivery on sealed Silver Eagle boxes right now. So what I was talking about earlier, if you want something, you're paying for it now, and delivery could be 2 weeks out, 3 weeks out, whatever it may be. So we are currently seeing that. And when you said premiums, yeah, absolutely. The bids and the asks on gold buffaloes, gold American Eagles, silver American Eagles across the board have gone up. So that tells me that demand is starting to kick in. When the premiums on those products start to get too high, you'll start to see people saying, well, I'll accept maple leaves, I'll accept Philharmonics, I'll accept this, you know, in lieu of that. And oddly enough, the premiums on Silver Eagle are getting into those stupid numbers again, in my opinion, which tells me, again, buying's picking up on the retail environment, but we'll see. Let me look for that right now. Wholesale, for example, where are sealed boxes? For example, if you want sealed boxes, wholesale, my cost is probably around $4.75 to $5.25 over spot right now. Let me just make sure. Yeah, for sealed monster boxes. So $4.75 to $5.25 plus the spot price. So, you know, 500 ounces, you know, that's a big premium. You know, 1,000 ounces, that's, yeah, you're paying an extra, what is it? What, anyways, yeah. And same thing with Gold Eagles. I'm looking at the spreads on Gold Eagles. Gold, the current wholesale ask, my cost, not retail cost or what other people, probably on Eagles right now, 135 to 145 in that range is what my replacement cost is. That's without me making any money. So retailers will add in 1% or 2% over that. But yeah, the bid and ask prices have gone up quite a bit. And if that continues, you'll see it go down to other products. And that starts to tell me that the buyers are stepping in again. How's that?
I sure appreciate that, Brian. And we have quite an audience watching along at home. So thank you all for joining. And certainly, if you're having fun and found this helpful, go ahead, hit that like button, subscribe too if you haven't already. And certainly, we will continue to keep you posted as, I mean, Brian, it's really a historic time in history. Let me pull up our silver pricing one last time before
we... I think
we
just times in general. It's historic times.
There you go, folks. I want to make sure everyone sees while we are live on the air that we have a $52 silver spot price. Spread still elevated. And again, you know, certainly if you go back here... And no, we don't go back to 1980 on that spot chart. So let's get the chart before we close up for today. And you can see, I mean, if you're a longtime silver fan, come on, chart. Well, you see the three spikes there. There we go. I mean, it's just, and this one has happened. I mean, it's been happening slowly over the last 2 years, but this last acceleration, so stunning and rapid and quick, and the fact that I don't think this is going to get as resolved as easily as what happened in 1980 or 2011. So anyway, again, hit that subscribe button, give it a thumbs up. And Brian, I might add that as we wrap up, perhaps you could let people know if they'd like to get in touch with you, the best way to do so. And I'll also add that often I mention that I did find a dealer who has great pricing, great to work with, and is able to even beat the online stores. And that is Brian, who we have here today. So, Brian, could you just let people know? And to be clear, Brian, you do not sell, you don't have an online checkout, but
no.
I'll put the phone number up and you can just let folks know what you do and offer and available for.
Well, real quick, I can give great advice to customers of yours and or to listeners of yours and customers buying gold and silver all over the world. The most sage advice I can give you is buy the least expensive premium you can for a industry recognized product, which means that if you can buy a Krugerrand for $60 less than American Eagles, do it. And when I say industry products that are recognized, stick to your core products. And not products that are recognized by a buddy of yours or something, but industry recognized products. And with that said, thank you, Chris. I've been doing this since 1977, second generation dealer, working for my father. I started this place in 95 with a partner. We sell gold, silver, and platinum bars and coins. I've been doing this a long time. Brick and mortar, we're open 10 to 4 Mondays, Fridays. You can come in anytime. We don't have an online presence. So we do sell to people out of the state, but we have to limit our deals to larger quantities and such. I appreciate it. I could go on plugging myself, but thank you so much, Chris. And may I also say, make sure you hit Chris's like and subscribe button, because he's a great guy. I've learned a lot from him. And again, I appreciate everything, Chris.
Well, I appreciate that. And again, the commercialrarecoins.com link in the description field below. And phone number is 954-493-8811. So, Brian, thanks so much for making some time. I know people are hearing and reading a lot of things, and it's great to get this update from someone who is at the front line. So, with that said, last word is just thank you at home for watching. Hope you're having fun, enjoying everything that's going on. I know a lot of you have waited a long time for it, and here we are. So I'm glad to be here and honored to be covering this with you. And we will see you again soon, my friends.